Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
I'm humming along to the theme song. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, November 2, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 287 of the Biden-Harris administration. 370 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram. Go there right now. The Bob Seska is my handle. And on Twitter, my handle is BobSeska_go, the worst handle in the world. Okay, with all of that said and done, let's bring him in. Buzz. Buzz is sitting right over there.
When you say Buzz Burbank,
you've said it all.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day. Did you hear those people outside the studio?
I did. What are they saying?
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure they're shouting, "Let's go, Burbank." Is that possible? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, anyway. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, everybody. He is Bob. I'm Buzz. And Lord help us, we have Greta Mania.
You too? Man, I thought I had a fever. Turns out to be Greta Mania.
How was your Halloween? I know you said you don't get many trick-or-treaters. Ours vary from year to year.
Yeah. Zero. So, we had zero trick-or-treaters.
Did you do anything special for Halloween?
Nope. Watch TV.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get a lot of trick-or-treaters this year, but that's because I turned on the sprinklers. That could be...
Again?
They stayed away.
Old man Burbank, turn on the sprinklers again.
You kids, get off my lawn. American Airlines is under scrutiny for canceling thousands of flights over the weekend.
Wow.
Weary travelers immediately responded by boycotting Southwest.
Oh, shit.
Well, see, here's the deal. A lot of people are angry about a Southwest pilot saying, "Let's go, Brandon," on the PA.
Right.
Now, as you may know, that's right-wing code for F. Joe Biden.
Yeah.
We also have a code name for Donald Trump.
Yes, we do.
But in ours, we just say the words.
That's right. Damn it, we're honest about it, at least.
Trump is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
He just made a list of the specific documents he doesn't want the January 6th committee to see.
Sure.
Which is like a teenager saying, "If you're going to search my room, don't look in the closet."
You put your weed in there. That's why.
Good luck. Yeah. Colorado Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert revealed this week that she once gave birth in her pickup truck. And that's how we got Louie Gohmert.
I can't stop this feeling.
Rocky Mountain Mike right here.
About the GOP. That they just don't realize it's not 1863. When we're voting on a Tuesday night, they let you know that you have no rights. I know they're hooked on their stealing. They're high on their cheating.
Weasel.
And statues of Robert E. Lee. Lips that smell of Trump's ass. The taste he's left behind.
Oh, my God.
The boy that got me drinking, what's left of Stephanie's box wine.
She doesn't drink anymore.
On Fox News at night, they want you scared. If you're old and wise, I know they're hooked on their stealing.
Yeah, yeah.
They sure like deceiving.
They sure
don't
do.
Like democracy. Yeah, they're hooked on their stealing.
Yep.
They're high on their cheating.
They sure
yes,
are.
Yes, indeed. Rocky Mountain Mike. Rocky MNTN Mike. At Twitter, at the Twitter. Go follow him on Twitter. Oh, my God. Thank you, Mike. So,
yes.
Yeah, Buzz, my friend, it is Election Day in Virginia. And apparently there are other states that have elections today, but they don't matter because we're focusing on Virginia, rightfully so.
Well, you know, yeah, because that's the only one that's really close. And it's close between Trumpism and democracy.
That's exactly right.
And not just for Virginia, but for the nation.
Mm-hmm. And why are we so worried? Why are we so concerned about this? I mean, certainly.
Are you worried? Are you concerned?
I am very concerned. I mean, it's going to be another.
Too.
It's going to be another night.
Sure.
I just want to end the day by watching Ted Lasso rerun and Better Call Saul. That was my. That was going to be my weekday evening, right?
Yeah, you got to escape. You got to. That would be the desire.
Instead, it's going to be Steve Kornacki and math all night long. Fun.
Here's what has had me in a bad mood this morning, and not as optimistic as I would like to be. And that is, how is it so freaking close?
How is it that
race should not be close? How is this even possible? Have we lost that many Americans? Is that? I mean. I'm sputtering because
I know. I'm right there with you.
I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. It's the lack of enthusiasm. And I have no fucking idea why it takes Democrats so long to accelerate, from zero to enthusiastic. It seems like it takes forever. It's like an 18-wheeler going uphill. It's just chugging along. And it seems like that process, we haven't arrived at energetic yet before today.
Here's the problem, in my view. And I really think this is it. I think easily a majority of Americans think the way we think. And when I say we, I'm talking about you and I and the people in our audience, how we generally think. We disagree on little things, but we generally agree. We have on a basic set of principles and goals and ideals. Mm-hmm. You and I follow the news. The people listening to this show follow the news. I hope so. Otherwise, they won't get the jokes.
Yeah, I don't know. But, why are you listening if you're not following the news?
But so here's a group of well-informed citizens who want to be involved, who will vote, who do vote. The problem is, and I really think I've nailed it here, most Americans have stopped paying attention.
Yep.
Most Americans think it's either hopeless or they've bought into the both sides argument.
Yeah.
Or they've given up. Or they just don't want to hear it anymore because it ain't cheerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It isn't Kardashian.
Yeah.
And we've lost people on our side, people who believe what we believe, we've lost their engagement. They don't they don't realize most Americans, especially right thinking Americans, don't even realize what's happening and how close we are and how close we have been and how close we will continue to be to losing democracy. It's real.
Yeah, and so many of those Americans see the both sides nonsense, and that's what makes them tune out because they figure, oh, well, this side is doing this thing and that side's doing the other thing and they cancel each other out. Why should I even bother? I don't know which side is right. I don't know which side is wrong anymore because this is how it's being presented. And we know some of the reasons. We all know why that's happening, but it's still happening regardless of why it's happening. Yes, we all recognize that a lot of times if you happen to bump into Chuck Todd on cable news, you're going to see that kind of attitude. Well, on one hand, these guys are doing this. And on the other hand, these guys are doing that. And you know what? It's a pox on both their houses and whatever.
Right.
That's what's causing the disillusionment because people don't understand that there is one side that is interested in science and facts and doing the right thing for your society, integrity, things like that, the truth, reality. And there is another side that is engaged in this, fantastical world of just the most ridiculous, racist fan fiction in the history of American politics. I mean, P.T. Barnum would give up and go home if he saw what was happening on the Republican side of things these days.
Well, I've talked about our failure in education before, but this is so much bigger than I even realized, this problem of ignorance. And it's a lack of education in the areas we've discussed before, civics, government, civic responsibility, those kinds of things that aren't taught but haven't been. But it's also this disengagement with the news and not knowing what's going on currently and therefore not knowing the threat against society. And if everyone who shared our ideals understood the threat, they'd all be voting today.
That's just the thing. I think even people who understand the threat might not realize that the threat is actually the top priority. That's the problem. I think we've got scrambled priorities. I've been talking about this for weeks now. That I feel like there are too many of us who are still focused on the old politics, the pre-Trump politics, the pre-existential emergency politics, where it was okay to push your side around to kind of get your policies enacted and so on, to kind of, you know, strategically undermine your own side in order to get what you want. These days, when you undermine your own side, what you're doing is you're actually amplifying the other side. You're helping those guys because the red hats, they're full of piss and vinegar. And they're going to take that piss and vinegar to the polling places in Virginia today. And as we know, if Virginia falls to Glenn Youngkin, then Glenn Youngkin is going to be under tremendous pressure by his own people to enact a lot of the election laws that we've seen passed elsewhere, Georgia, Texas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Plus,
not to mention this crap about critical race theory and vaccines and everything
else. That's right. That's right. And also, I'm very cognizant of the fact that you might be hearing this after the results are in tonight.
Yes.
So greetings, people of the future. I hope things turned out well.
let me ask you this, because fingers I think it'll be interesting regardless of the outcome. What, aside from what you've just outlined, what happens, and especially on the Democratic side, what happens if Youngkin wins? Where do we go from here? What's our next move? How do we deal with that?
The next thing that we need to look out for, those of you who are hearing the show before Kornacki comes on tonight,
or tomorrow,
as the case may be, this may be an all-night endeavor if it's close. Right. The thing is that we want to look for, if it looks like Youngkin's going to win, we got to stay focused on the, oh my God, I think it's the House of Delegates in Virginia.
Yeah.
Because if that margin goes to the Republicans, I believe, and the numbers are getting scrambled in my head right now, this is where I really need Kornacki's math to clarify things, but I think the Democrats have a 10-seat advantage in the Virginia House of Delegates, which is the sort of the equivalent of the House of Representatives in the Virginia General Assembly. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And if that starts to look bad, then we need to get extra nervous. But there's still a Senate firewall. The Virginia Senate is still held by Democrats. I think the margin is narrower. Suffice to say, if things go poorly at the governor's level, we may still have a firewall in the General Assembly. So that may be the upside ultimately. It's not like the General Assembly is going to send Glenn Youngkin some sort of radical anti-abortion law like the Texas law or the Mississippi law or something like that. I don't think that's going to happen in Virginia.
And is it a failure or a rebuke of Trump if Youngkin loses?
I think everything that's bad for the Republican Party is bad for Trump. They're one and the same. They are married.
And I was struck as you were outlining the Virginia legislature there, that here again, it's close. In our Congress in D.C., it's close. Mm-hmm. You know, what little majority we have is close.
Yeah.
Why? Why is this race a toss-up today in Virginia? Why is the Congress so 50-50? Why is the Pennsylvania legislature so 50-50? Why is it so close? It's because Democrats aren't voting. It's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah.
And even that isn't our solution to everything. It's important, but in fact, it's the most important thing, even if it doesn't stand alone. But I just can't believe that Americans so eager to get rid of Trump are willing to drop the ball at this point and let him back in, because he's doing everything he can to work his way back in.
I think those of us who follow the news on a regular basis or on social media and so on, I think we understand the stakes. I don't think a lot of people understand the real stakes of elections. I'm not just saying this election, but all elections currently, because it is right now a battle for the soul of the United States. It's a battle for the future of the United States. And so far as things go the wrong way, what we're talking about is a minority party that will establish itself permanently in government. Right. They will not leave. How do I know? I keep going back to this example. How do I know that they will not leave once they attain majority power? Because they already tried not to leave. They invaded the goddamn United States Capitol. We're going to be talking about the Washington Post thing here in a little bit.
Good.
They invaded the Capitol. They tried to hang the vice president, who was on their side, by the way.
And
that's
and
how radical they are. And that's what we need to prevent.
And Mitt Romney was one of their targets as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just about anyone who was in a place of leadership was being targeted that day. Yeah.
Who wasn't on Team Trump, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And they were being, well, the people who were helping the insurrectionists were, you know, the members of Congress, who we all know the names of. We know the names Josh Hawley, and we know the names Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the usual suspects. They were, you know, allegedly on board with the entire plot. So they were safe, but everyone else wasn't.
You had to be talking about Joe Manchin primarily when you were talking about those who work against their own party.
Yeah.
Here again, Democrats didn't vote hard enough, and that gave Joe Manchin too much of a voice.
Yeah.
Seriously, I know this question's been raised 100 times over the last couple of months. What do we do about Joe Manchin for now? If you were Joe Biden, what would you do about Joe Manchin?
That's a really good question. As far as the negotiations go, the guy is getting a hernia from all the goalpost moving, for God's sake. I mean, picking up those goalposts and moving them. I mean, he's an older guy. I don't know how he can handle it.
Yeah, it's got to be
without,
a strain.
Without blowing a tube down there, you know what I mean? And so, it's like, I don't know. I'm thinking $1.5 trillion, even though I agreed on $1.75, even though I agreed on something higher before, and even though I stood there with Joe Biden when he first announced the deal back in June, goddammit.
He couldn't be more Republican on this because he did what the Republicans do, and that is say, well, you know, negotiate with me and we'll get a deal, and they strike a deal, and then he goes, no, it's too much, forget it, I'm not going to vote for it.
Right.
That's the same misleading BS that we get from the Republicans. He's acting as a Republican. We've got to find a way around this. They've got to break the filibuster, and I see increasing support for that. I see Republican Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski has come out in favor of ending the filibuster. It would be great if others got on board to help cancel out Joe Manchin.
Just need one more. If Murkowski is on board, God damn it.
She is.
Holy shit. Yeah. Well, then you get one of the other moderate Republicans.
That's BS. We got to call it as it is. They're conservative Republicans at best. Conservative Democrats at best, Republicans at worst. They are behaving as Republicans in their negotiation, in their bad faith negotiations.
Oh, you're talking about Manchin. I was talking about Murkowski. Manchin. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was right, because I'm really focused on Manchin. A lot of my anger today is toward him. because is it a coincidence that he announced that he wasn't going to support it after all that negotiating? Is it a coincidence he would announce that 24 hours before the Virginia election?
Yeah, not
so
smart.
So that Terry McAuliffe has nothing to go on. Yeah. So that Joe Biden is in at Glasgow with nothing to go on.
The crazy thing about that is Joe Manchin knows that because of his shenanigans, Democratic voters or voters in general in Virginia will vote against the Democrats because of what Joe Manchin is doing, holding back the process with Build Back Better. That's the insane world we live in right now, that there are voters who are going to go, oh, yeah, you know what? Screw those Democrats. They can't get Build Back Better passed. And it's just wait a minute. No, that's Joe Manchin. That's the next state over. That's West Virginia. That guy's the problem. It's not the Virginia Democrats. You don't punish Terry McAuliffe because of what Joe Manchin is doing. But that's going to happen anyway. I mean, you know, look, it's the insanity of our politics these days.
It's not hyperbole or ass kissing to say the amount of stuff that Joe Biden has accomplished while in office is beyond amazing. Cutting childhood poverty in half.
Big deal.
Getting Republicans to agree on an infrastructure deal. You know, the list goes on. It's an amazing list for a president's first year in office.
Yeah.
And the Democrats in the House have proven, and, you know, most of our Democrats in the Senate have proven that they are there to do what we want them to do.
Yeah.
And you know, because of the Republican opposition, and you add Manchin and Sinema and the like onto that, we're not able to get anything done. Democrats didn't vote hard enough, but now they're taking it out on the Democrats, some voters are, by just not showing up at the polls today. I'm not going to support the Democrats. They haven't done all the things I wanted by now. Well, you know, how realistic is that? And it's not. And so by not voting, you're actually allowing Trumpism to take over.
And I hope we're terribly wrong about this, Buzz. I hope that the future people who are tuned into the show after the results come in, I hope they are sitting here listening. Bob, Buzz, you guys were way off about all of this. I mean, Terry McAuliffe, you know, walked across the finish line. It was so in the bags for him.
And I hope it turns out that way. And it could very well turn out that way. But the fact that we came this close to it is extremely disturbing.
It is.
So even if this is the next day or the day after that, that you're listening to this and Terry McAuliffe won, even if he won by 5 points, the polls going into the election, the aggregate, as aggregated by Steve Kornacki at MSNBC, show Glenn Trumpkin in the lead by a point or two. That's statistically a tie.
Mm-hmm.
But still, why is it that close? Why would Youngkin even have any kind of a lead or even be tied with McAuliffe this close to the election? And I hope that motivates or motivated some people to get out today and vote in Virginia, because, again, it's not just democracy in Virginia that we're talking about here. It's democracy for the nation. If Virginia falls, we've got a problem in the rest of the country.
Here's something that is positive as far as the outlook for tonight's results. It is raining back here. It is dismal. It is gray. It is everything that I hate about this time of year, quite honestly. Plus, we've got all the clock touching happening this Sunday, so there's that on top of it. But suffice to say, in terms of the election, it's raining here and the roads are wet. Let's hope that this tamps down turnout for red hat voters who tend to be older and don't necessarily want to venture out when the roads are slick, plus there's all the leaves on the road, and you know, so I think people may play it cautious and that may hold back turnout for the Republican side. That's one potentially positive outcome here, how this could work out.
The thing that has motivated Republican voters, it seems to me, is critical race theory and Youngkin pounding on that, which, of course, isn't even taught in schools, and it's actually code for racism when you hear rednecks, red hats talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the race has become about that is just stupid, because it's made the race about something that doesn't exist, that isn't a problem.
Yeah.
And that also is typical of Republican politics, to try to make an issue and succeed in making an issue out of something that isn't.
Yeah.
I have to blame the news media. I have to blame Democrats themselves for continuing to fail at messaging up against Republicans. How is it the Republican message about critical race theory gets through and everybody marches down to the polls to vote, but the fear of racism doesn't motivate Democrats to get down to the polls to vote? I just don't, because it's got to be messaging to some degree. So there's the media, there's Democrats themselves, and the fact that Democratic voters aren't paying attention and or are disappointed that they haven't gotten everything they wanted by now. These are stupid, stupid reasons to lose democracy.
Yeah, I think Democrats, bless them, often look for things to support rather than to vote against. I think that tends to be the difference in the mindset, where you get a lot of Republicans who are like terrified of critical race theory, and they're terrified of, you know, abortion doctors, and they're terrified of trans people in bathrooms. And so they race out, oh my God, communism. And they go out and they vote because they're terrified of all of these things.
And
whereas
course,
Democrats are, yeah, more like, please tell me what you're going to do first and make me like you, and then I'm going to vote for you. And right or wrong, that seems to be the dividing line between the two sides as far as energy and enthusiasm for getting out the vote.
Another reminder that these working class Republican voters are afraid of those things because they've been told to be afraid of those things by the rich Republicans who run the party.
Exactly. Well, you know what? Let's talk about some good news here real quick. Let's throw in a dose of some fun. Certainly, this is fun news.
I need fun, Bob.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to give you fun here. Okay. Trump's DWAC stock continues to tank. Oh, my God. This is my favorite story the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, give it up.
Fail. Big fail. One-term losers. New business is failing. Failing before it ever gets out of the gate. Yeah, exactly. So, as we all know, Trump went public with his new media company, TGW something. I don't know what the name of it. I forget the name of the company. But he's merged with this other company called DWAC, Digital World Acquisition Corp. And Digital World Acquisition Corp is how Trump is taking his new business public. It's like a placeholder on the NASDAQ. So, as you know, those of you who listen to the show know that I've been following the fate of this stock, knowing full well that it's another Donald Trump business which is doomed to fail. Why? Because it's a Donald Trump business. His presidency failed. Even his charity, the Trump Foundation, failed to the point where the Trumps can't even run another charity for the rest of their lives. They're banned from doing it. That's how bad it was. Plus, he got Trump steaks and all the other crap, vodka and university and whatever. So he's got this new business out, and the DWAC stock, as soon as it was announced, it has been tanking, and it is so fun to watch. At one point last week, I think it was down something like 60 percentage points. I mean, just insane decline. And so as of right now, the stock, let's get a up-to-the-minute read.
I want to mention a footnote, a funny footnote that Rachel had last night toward the end of her show. And again, I'm not great at high finance stuff, but in some of the investment papers, she found a clause that said, none of this applies if either A, Donald Trump runs for president, or B, Donald Trump is indicted.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yesterday was another banner day for Trump's DWAC stock after a catastrophic previous week. It was down another 10.23% for the day yesterday. Congratulations. Hashtag Truth Social. What a shame.
Why do bad things happen to good people, Bob? I don't understand.
Yeah, you should have taken my advice to short sell this stock when I was saying you should. Almost 2 weeks ago, I was saying short this stock. It's going to fail. Watch. I mean, right now, as of today, just to be perfectly fair, it is up, I think, 1 point. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is I'm getting a lot of replies on Twitter, especially, that, this is all a big pump and dump scam. Like, this is how Trump intended to do it. Like, he intended to put this thing out publicly and then watch it crash and burn. Like, pump up the price and then watch it fail. Donald Trump doesn't want to be seen as a loser. Are you kidding me?
He's ego-driven.
Yeah. I mean, he used to do that on the stock market all the time. I've talked about how he used to do pump and dump scams. But with this, his name is attached to the company. I mean, this is Trump's media venture. This is his big take.
This is the latest Trump stakes. Yeah,
exactly right. He's taken on Google. He's taken on Twitter. He's taken on Facebook. He's taken on Netflix. He's taken on Amazon. He's taken on all the heavy hitters. Do you think in a million years he would deliberately want to be seen as a loser against all of these people who, by the way, all of these corporations are his vowed enemies? He's suing several of them.
Right.
You know, I don't think he wants them to win by deliberately losing to them.
Right.
So no way this is a pump and dump. This is just another Trump failure. This is another thing. This is what it looks like to watch Trump's businesses fail in real time.
Well, get a good seat because this one's destined to fail as well.
That's right. So there's your good news for now. In just a second, Buzz, I want to talk about, we're going to get to the Washington Post thing here too, about the insurrection. But I want to talk about what Bill Maher said the other day about the pandemic being over.
I don't watch him anymore, so I'd be interested to know what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I've got the clip. We're going to break apart the clip here. And God, it's not only disillusioning to see his slow decline into
Dennis Millerism.
Yeah, some weird sort of MAGA mutation, Joe Rogan hybrid of, you know, it's like if Joe Rogan fucked a red hat, like literally a red MAGA hat, not a person wearing one, but a red MAGA hat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there was a baby born that was a mix of Joe Rogan's DNA and
in the front seat of Lauren Boebert's pickup truck.
Exactly right. That would be Bill Maher right now. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. This is infuriating, especially ahead of the holidays when we're all getting together, or at least trying to, with family and friends and so on. And Bill Maher went and declared that the pandemic is over when it's really not over. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up here on the show. But before we do that, if you're only listening to the free portion of this show, the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts and so on, you're only hearing the first hour. Guess what? There's an additional 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday show.
Many people are saying it's the best part of the show.
Yeah, many people. Some people are saying that.
With the best words.
Yeah, exactly. It's all happening right now on our Patreon page, by the way. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or simply BobSeskaShow.com. See, I registered that domain name, BobSeskaShow.com, so I wouldn't have to say patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. But now I'm just saying them interchangeably all the time.
Different order, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it only costs you pennies per episode. Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and it'll only cost you $5 per month. You'll be supporting this fully independent podcast. We thank you for that, but don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
The Bob Seska Show.
When I saw you from across the room, knew I was gonna have to learn a thing or two. Never thought that I'd see it through. Never thought that I already had it out for you. And I can't believe it.
From Washington, Pacific Northwest. This is a band called Lonely Together. Actually, it's a duo. Lonely Together is the name of the recording artist here collectively, and the song is called Can't Believe It. LonelyTogetherMusic.com. Oh, man. I love this. And the video is torn from like an 80s teen movie. You should go watch the video. It's posted at LonelyTogetherMusic.com. By the way, speaking of music, not only did we do an indie music countdown on Sunday, so that's ready for you, but also tomorrow, on tomorrow's interview show, I'm going to be interviewing recording artist Wallace Shriver, who is still a teenager, but yet she's got this enormous single out right now. Yes. Wallace, W-A-L-L-I-S. And she's going to be right here on this show. We're going to be talking to her about her very new career, her very young career, yes, and what indeed. It's like, you know, performing with her sisters, the Shriver sisters, and everything all about her music and what it's like to be a recording artist in the new world of the music industry, which is mainly you're on your own, folks. No more record labels. They're dying, and everyone
Yeah, and she's making a great strides. How old is she again?
You know what? Last time I checked, I think she was 17. I want to say 17, right around there.
Amazing.
Yeah. So Wallace Shriver on tomorrow's interview show.
Anybody here remember being 17?
Yeah. I don't even want to say what I was doing when I was 17 years old. I wasn't recording music I was in a band, but it sucked. Like most of us. Yeah. Then
as you should be. Yes. Yeah, you should be in a band that sucks at age 17. That's true. Exactly, but she's in a band that doesn't suck.
No. All right. Bill Maher. So speaking of what'd things that do kind of suck.
What'd he do this time?
Jesus Christ, this pissed me off so much, I can't even believe it. Let's just jump right in. Those of you who know this already, bear with us, but those of you who haven't heard this clip yet.
It's new to me.
Hang on to your socks. Here we go.
I'm not sure what the latest Dr. Fauci thing was on Halloween. He's changed his mind a lot, but I think it was...
Yeah, thank you for reflecting again. Here we go. Bill Maher from Fox News Channel, basically.
Right.
Let's start to doubt Dr. Fauci and demonize him. Yeah. Instead of Donald Trump, who was responsible for hundreds of thousands of dead people. You know, how about Bill Maher spend a little time talking about how Donald Trump murdered hundreds of thousands of Americans because of his irresponsibility, incompetence, ego, and ambition? Oh, my God. But it's Dr. Fauci's fault. Why does he, yeah. Why does he always change his mind?
He keeps changing things.
God damn it. So frustrating.
Go and do it. I hope so, because it certainly has been my position since the beginning of this. Just resume living. Come on, the 15 of 100,000, that's where we are cases in California. 15 cases per 100,000.
Yeah, yeah, that's great for people who live in California.
Right.
The rest of us are here in other states. I'm in
Florida. How do you think that's going?
Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the cherry picking of the statistics. The 15 per 100,000. How about the nationwide stats? How about the stats across the entire state? How about the statistics for children in the United States right now as far as testing positive for COVID? I mean, they're astronomical. I think during the course of one 7-day span last month, I want to say it was mid to late October, during that one span, there were over, I think, I want to say 160,000 children in the United States tested positive. In just one week alone, over 6 million have tested positive. Yeah,
Child infections have gone up 123% since the start of school.
There were how many deaths yesterday? I want to say 1,200 people in the United States died of COVID.
Still losing 1,000 people a day, give or take, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 72,000 cases as of the other day for the week. That was the 7-day average. That's more than some weeks during the 2020 era pre-vaccines. And it's because of this kind of nonsense, people thinking, well, now that I'm vaccinated, it's like free for all. I can do whatever the fuck I want. But it's not, we're not there yet. I mean, I'd love for us to be there. Contrary to what Bill Maher says, I would love for us to be at that place where we can go back to normal life, which we had for about 2 weeks back in May. But now things have changed. Things have disintegrated because people get complacent. People hear authority figures like Bill Maher and go, I guess everything's fine. Well, why should I pay attention? Everything's fine.
I've got more, but let's hear what Bill had to say.
Yeah.
People. I know some people seem to not want to give up on the wonderful pandemic, but you know what? It's over. There's always going to be a variant. You shouldn't have to wear masks. I haven't had a meeting with my staff since March of 2020.
Oh, boo hoo.
Stop whining.
Oh, my God, the whining.
Bill Maher has his meeting.
I know. Hey, let's all get infected because Bill hasn't had a goddamn meeting with his staff since March of 2020. Oh, woe is me. Okay.
That's him.
I like the idea that he says, we shouldn't have to wear masks. Yeah, you know what? We shouldn't have to wear a mask, but we kind of do, especially
because
after
of people like him.
Because of people like him. And because of the fact that, you know, we've been hearing reports lately that vaccinated people can transmit the virus at a rate that's close to unvaccinated people. That's why you should wear masks in closed quarters with people. Oh, my God, this is no-brainer shit. And he's like, fuck it. We don't need to do any of that shit anymore.
Why? I don't know, the state, the corporate, whoever it is, you're being fucking... sorry again.
Why is he apologizing at me?
I know, because you're a senator and you should...
Chris Coons is sitting there.
I forget. I'm
never
sorry.
Heard that word.
I know. But really, I mean, and also vaccine, mask, pick one.
No.
You gotta pick. You can't make me mask if I've had the vaccine.
Yeah, Smarty Pants Bill Maher has already tested. Bill Maher has had COVID. So clearly he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. Oh, my God. Or someone around him. wasn't doing what they should have been doing, more importantly, which is probably wearing a mask. Someone around him didn't wear a mask, or he didn't wear a mask, or some combination of the two. That's why he ended up getting COVID a few weeks ago, or whatever, a month or two ago.
And now he's saying this. Yeah, is there more tape? Or is that, yeah.
Oh,
that
yes,
the end there,
of the tape? Oh, yes, okay. There is more. Still more.
I've been up with COVID. It's not working for me anymore. I stayed home the first year. I was a good girlfriend. He was a little abusive. Then I got the vaccine. I walked out of the CVS. I hadn't been that thrilled coming out of a drugstore since I got the birth control pill in 1981. It's like, oh, no, I'm back. And it was the same thing. I knew. It's like, okay, I'm not going to need this every day. But when I do need it, it's on board. And then I barely got there, and it was like, oh, it's Delta. So I just...
You know, they're complaining as if someone just decided, oh, here's the Delta variant, you know, here, deal with this. No one decided that. That is not something that was passed through Congress or something like that.
The virus decided that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It happened because of the virus and because of irresponsible people transmitting the fucking virus. That's why it happened. It's not like someone introduced it. It's not like a new product. The new Hasbro Delta variant. Come and get it now. It's going to be the hot holiday item for your kids.
It's Kenner. It's fun.
Exactly. Jesus.
I can't keep up. And you know what? I have cancer. I'm triple vaxxed. If it gets me, fair play to it, because it will put up a fight against me, but I'm not staying in my house again.
There you go. Well, you're down with that? Because it's the Democrats who seem to be... I mean, I travel in every state now, back on the road, and the red states are a joy, and the blue states are a pain in the ass. For no reason.
For no reason. Oh, my God. You know, good luck this holiday season when, you know, half the people in your circle of friends or your family or whatever going to be echoing that shit. Oh, yeah, you want to wear a mask? Oh, you're doing it for no reason. Why are you being so silly with that mask? Because Bill Maher said there's no reason you should be vaccinated and wear a mask at the same time. Are you crazy? Why are you ruining the holiday? Oh, my God. This is why this is never going to go away. This is why this is going to become endemic in the United States.
It isn't just Bill Maher. We're about to talk about a very, very good thing the Washington Post did this week.
Yeah, yeah.
But before we do, I have to talk about something not so good that they may have done as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking at an article from, I believe it's yesterday morning's Washington Post. The headline is, "How Does a Pandemic Start Winding Down? You're Looking at It." That's the headline.
No.
The first sentence of the story is the pandemic isn't over, but, and it talks about the drop in cases. Now, new news out today, 24 hours later, says that the decline we've been seeing lately in cases has stopped and that there is a slight uptick. And we can also learn from the UK, where unlike the rest of Europe, UK has opened up again, but put life back to normal. And their cases are off the charts now as a result. We're looking at colder weather with people confined indoors again. The holidays are coming when people gather. Here's where we are at this house. Here's where I am. I will continue to wear a mask indoors with strangers. I am triple vaccinated. Other than that, I plan to lead a pretty normal life. There are a few places I won't go. If it's going to be crowded, even outdoors, or if I'm indoors, I'll be wearing a mask, and I am vaccinated. But I too am ready to start living again, and it's going to be hard to rein people in. I'm concerned, especially at my age, about life passing me by, and about, you know, not living life to its fullest. And so, and I know a lot of people are feeling the same way. But my choice is based on the fact that I am vaccinated and I wear mask when appropriate. And I think that's where we are right now. The article that I cited from the Post yesterday goes on to cite a couple of experts who say, no, the pandemic isn't over, but this is about as good as it's going to get. That we are, you know, that we've reached a brick wall at this point, that the virus is something that we're going to have to live with.
Yeah.
It can't be, scientists, epidemiologists, immunologists say it can't be wiped out at this point. it's too late to wipe it out.
Yeah.
Do we live? Do we not live? My advice, live, but safely. Get vaccinated, wear a mask, but live.
The way you kill this thing is to kick it when it's down. You know, when things get a little bit better, when things improve a little bit, that's not when you get complacent. In fact, you got to double your efforts at that point, because look, there are two tracks that we're all on. Every single one of us on this planet, every human being on this planet, are on two tracks, or at least they should be. One, keep yourself and the people immediately around you healthy. Two, get rid of the fucking virus from our society so we can move back to a regular, some sort of normal life. That's
even
the
scientists
idea. And you
got
to balance, and you got to make sure you focus on both of those things. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with this forever.
Even scientists are saying, we are stuck with this forever, and that it can't be eliminated at this point. This is the word from immunologists and virologists. We've done just about all we can do. That this is going to be life going forward, where we are right now. They don't expect much change. They expect there may be a spike over the winter, and that it too will subside. Mm-hmm. I'm predicting that I've been for some time predicting it'll fizzle out around March of next year.
Yeah.
But I think it will always be with us. Mm-hmm. And those of us who do care about society, will continue to take precautions.
Yeah.
And this is our life now.
Mm-hmm. By the way, some clarification on statistics here. 117,000 nationwide cases of COVID among children for the week of October 14th through October 21st. That was just 1 week alone. I think it was over 6 million, something like that, total children infected as of right now. And then in terms of nationwide, let's see, for a pandemic being over, there are 124,000 new cases today. Yesterday. November 1st, 124,000 new cases. Seven-day average, 74,000.
That's it starting to tick up again. It has fallen dramatically over the last month. We have to be honest about that. But that fall has stopped, and we see it ticking up again. And please, please, please pay attention to what's happening with the UK.
Yeah.
The one European society that's decided to open up and pretend it's over is now seeing a huge, huge, huge spike in cases, outpacing the rest of the world at this point. So you just be careful.
Yeah, but it's over because Bill Maher wants to have a meeting with his staff again. So there's that.
It's over because a lot of people have just decided it's over, and he's over. One of them. Yeah. Unfortunately, he has the megaphone.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no.
We'll say when it's over.
Yeah. Okay. So this Washington Post thing, oh my God, you were exactly right when you called it a book. I mean, they basically put together the most comprehensive report on the insurrection that I have ever seen. And what's interesting about it, too, another thing you mentioned is that this reads like the eventual 1-6 committee's final report.
Let me please say this to our listeners.
Yes.
Well, seek out this report. I know there's a paywall. If you know somebody, I mean, it would be worth getting a subscription temporarily just to be able to read this amazing, amazing article. I recommend everybody read this. The Washington Post has done an amazing thing here. Mm-hmm. They were using 24 reporters and dozens more staff members. I mean, they dedicated almost the entire paper to this.
Yeah.
They interviewed 230 witnesses, gathered thousands of documents, videos, and photos to put this thing together. And they came to some essential conclusions that sum it up, but it does read like a book. It is quite lengthy. It's divided into three chapters called Before, During, and After. And it is the most complete summary you will find of exactly what happened, what caused the insurrection, how it was carried out, how it was planned. It doesn't answer all the questions like who funded it, although it does give us some clues. But it is amazingly comprehensive. It includes audio recordings, video recordings, and still photos, in addition to amazingly well-written text. It's a fascinating read. You will develop an amazing respect for a female officer named Mendoza, Capitol Police, and what she experienced and what just her story within that. But it does reveal so much, and I do think that it reads like the January 6th committee's final report will read. I think you're going to see a lot of similarities. So if you want to get an advanced look at what, because, and a lot of this reporting, a lot of these documents are from the January 6th committee. Mm-hmm. So that's why, they know that. And that's why I think that they parallel so well. If you want to see it first, get a hold of that Washington Post article and read every word.
That's right. It's just so you know, it's called Before, During, and After the Attack. The attack being the main title of the piece. Enormous. And I love the fact that they're calling it the attack, because that's what it was. It was American citizens attacking the government. Attacking Congress.
They pull no punches.
Yeah. The first chapter before, it's got all the red flags as law enforcement agencies fail to heed mounting warnings before January 6th as Trump propels his supporters to Washington, many with the intent to commit violent acts. Second chapter, during. And then it says bloodshed for 187 harrowing minutes. The president watched his supporters attack the Capitol and resisted pleas to stop them. Not didn't stop them.
Right.
Resisted the ability to stop them. And then after contagion, menacing threats and disinformation spread across the country in the wake of the Capitol siege, shaking the underpinnings of American democracy. And you know where we are right now as far as polls go? 82% of Republicans believe the election was stolen by Joe Biden. Fox News, 82% of Fox News viewers specifically believe the election was stolen.
Well, I wonder where they got that idea.
Yeah, I don't know. This is shocking.
Fox News, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
If I may, here are the four conclusions from the report. And I've changed the order. I'm listing them in a different order than the Post did. Mm-hmm. But these are their exact words and their priorities. Now, the first two I'm going to give you have to do with the failures of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Escalating danger signs were in full view hours before the Capitol attack, but did not trigger a stepped-up security response. Mm-hmm. And two, the FBI was forced to improvise a plan to take back control of the Capitol. They had to come up with it on the fly. Now, the other two findings, and these are the most significant findings of the Washington Post massive investigation, for which they deserve another Pulitzer. Trump had direct warnings of the risk, but stood by for 187 minutes before telling his supporters to go home. And number two, during that time, his allies pressured Pence to reject the election results even after the Capitol siege. They were still on Pence after the attack, because it was all part of the same operation.
Unfucking believable. Yes. Yes. But now, as if we skewed off into some sort of tangent in the space-time continuum after the insurrection, slowly the Republican Party began to retcon everything that happened. Fox News began to retcon everything that happened, to the point where now we have myriad laws that have been passed based on the lies that led to the insurrection. Election laws, to entirely based on what Trump lied about, the shit that he made up after the election. And make no mistake, he made it all up. These 82% of Fox News viewers, they are suckers. They believe nonsense. They believe an obvious con man. Not just any con man. Someone who is so clearly a con man to anyone with gray matter in their head.
And the thing that I think our listeners need to keep in mind is the big lie is the impetus for hundreds of proposed laws, scores of which have already become law. In 17 of our states. In other words, the big lie isn't just a propaganda problem for us. It's the law.
Yeah.
The Republican officials can now overturn elections. And unless we pass the Voting Rights Act and put a stop to that, that's how our future elections are going to go. Mm. And just as I predicted on this show, I said, in the 2020 election, I said, this is the new mode of operation for Republicans. Mm-hmm. And that is to declare every election a fraud.
Yeah.
And to challenge every election until people no longer believe in elections.
That's
right. We are already, Bob was talking about what could happen if we're ultimately ruled by a minority. I worry that in many ways we already are ruled by a minority. Mm-hmm. We already bow far too much to the side that holds no power.
Yeah.
It baffles me.
I know.
And, and doesn't make me as optimistic as I would like to be. I'm crankier than Bill Maher about not having a meeting.
Yeah. You know what? I don't blame you. This is a situation where it's so much easier to influence people if you are no longer tethered to the truth, if you are no longer tethered to facts, if you can disconnect from all the things that are required in order to have integrity and honesty and all of those virtues, then you can say literally anything you want, anything you make up. And of course, shit you make up is going to be tailor-made for your target audience.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have to craft talking points around the facts. Just take the facts away and make up whatever the fucking talking points that you want to make up. And that will sway so many people. As I was just saying, 82% of Fox News viewers are completely disconnected from the facts because the message they've been hearing is completely disconnected from the facts. It's one of those things where if they weren't so racist and horrendous and misguided, I would feel sorry for them. Here's a great example. Here's a great example. Let's talk about this guy who was a Virginia voter who was pissed off about critical race theory and was asked, what exactly is critical race theory? Let's listen to this guy.
What's the most important issue in the governor's race here in Virginia?
Getting back to the basics of teaching children, not teaching them critical race theory.
And what is critical race theory?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because I don't understand it that much. But it's something that I don't, what little bit that I know, I don't care for.
And what have you heard that you don't?
Well,
that you
I'm
don't
not.
Like?
I'm not going to. You know, I don't. I don't have that much knowledge on it. But it's something that I'm not. That I don't care for.
Yeah, it's like communism. I don't like communism. Well, what is communism?
I don't. That is every Republican voter.
Yep.
I really think it is. That sounds very familiar, as in my own family.
Mm-hmm.
That's like something my folks might have said.
Yeah, yeah.
The reaction would have been the same. I mean, it's got to be every Republican voter. And this is the ignorance. We've failed ourselves in education. Mm-hmm. We have failed ourselves in journalism, with rare exceptions. This is not a good scenario.
And no.
It's led us to this seemingly 50-50 point when the truth is most Americans share the same ideals. You and I and the people listening, we are the majority. And we're letting, or we have let, control slip away from us.
Look, as far as reporters who still seem interested to go out to the various diners and the hinterlands and to talk to Trump supporters, I've got your answers for you. You don't need to do that anymore. Here's the solution. Here's the big scoop that you need to unravel, to deconstruct what makes all of these Trump supporters tick. The fact is, they are suckers. They have been fooled by Roger Ailes and then Donald Trump. That is what's happened in this country. It's Roger Ailes, Donald Trump, making up bullshit. The most recently about critical race theory, which isn't being taught in schools in any way, shape, or form. But yet Fox News has said, yes, it is. So all these guys, like that guy we just heard from, go, well, yeah, of course, it's critical race theory. It's wrong. Well, what do you think it is?
Duh. And what they're really saying is because I want to keep black people down. I mean, that's really what they're saying.
Exactly. Okay, so a few things I want to wrap up the show with.
Thing I want to talk about, and I know we talked about discussing this, and that is how this ignorance can and probably will lead to violence.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, we're going to talk about that and a little bit more here on the show. But first, I want to talk about the after party real quick. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth Bob Seska Show podcast for the week. I don't know if you knew this. Four shows. I do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday.
It's amazing.
But the Friday show happens in semi-secret on our Patreon page. And this one, of course, the after party is different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. It's loaded with all the politics you want. So we got all that covered. while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations. As if these conversations aren't obscene, but they're even more obscene on the after party. We're talking about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the stuff we can't get away with on a free show. And by the way, on the most recent after party, this past Friday, we talked about how to sabotage Trump's new streaming service when you go and visit your parents for the holidays, plus a new revelation about the JFK assassination and Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos and a lot more. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday after party for just $10 per month. And bonus, you're also going to get two Shadow Docket shows every damn week included in that level of support. That's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Oh, yeah, one of our faves here on the show.
Yep.
The great Megan McDuffie right here, a song called Possession Your Love from her brand new album called Inner Demons. Yeah, we love Megan here. And MeganMcDuffie.bandcamp.com, link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com. Go click it, mash it, smash it down, whatever the kids are saying on YouTube. Smash that subscribe button, whatever it is that they say. I have no idea. I'm so out of touch.
Oh, those kids.
Yeah, I know. So, all right, let's talk about a few really dumb things here. This is a little bit fun. This is some more fun. We need the fun, especially
yes,
today.
Yeah. Fun break.
Yeah, Louis Gohmert was gomerting it up the other day, and whenever that happens, I always go to Charles Johnson's Twitter feed because he loves making fun of Louis Gohmert. He's made sitcom logos for Louis Gohmert when he says really stupid shit.
It's Louis.
Yeah, Louis Gohmert, or it's just for short with an exclamation mark, sort of like Gutfeld. It's Gohmert. Louis Gohmert. I'm trying to see. No, I didn't gather the audio because I didn't want to scare people. But here's what Louis Gohmert said on the floor of the House of Representatives the other day.
Yes.
I've read where experts have said if you've got a choice between the temperature getting slightly warmer or slightly colder, you want warmer, because if it's getting slightly colder, that means there's less time for crops to grow.
And more time for fires to sweep across the land.
Yes, but exactly.
That's another story.
And by the way, the experts he consulted there, to quote the West Wing, a beanie baby and a sock puppet. That's his experts that he chose. And I was wondering the other day, I was like, did he at some point get kicked in the face by a mule? And then someone in the comments under that said, oh, no, Bob, he wasn't kicked in the face by a mule. Louis Gohmert whizzed on the electric fence.
Don't whiz on the electric fence.
He should know better.
Yeah, do not whiz on the electric fence, Louis.
So many Republicans we can play that for now.
I know, including Chuck Grassley. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, here's what Chuck Grassley tweeted yesterday. Welcome to President Biden's America, where 10,000 pounds of fentanyl have been seized by Customs and Border Patrol so far this fiscal year, which is enough to kill over 2 billion people, or more than one-fourth of the world's population. That's somehow bad for Joe Biden?
They seized it, did they? So it didn't get on the streets and didn't kill 2 billion people?
Yes!
And Joe Biden gets the credit for that, I guess.
Exactly. So you can say that Joe Biden saved the lives of 2 billion people, more than one quarter of the world's population. Uh-huh. And
Grassley peed on the electric fence.
Don't whiz on the electric fence.
Stop whizzing on the electric fence, Republicans.
It's like when Trump said, don't look at the documents A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. He was whizzing on the electric fence.
Yeah, Donald Trump always whizzes on the electric fence.
Don't whiz on the electric fence.
I love that. Ren and Stimpy.
Good advice.
Yes. So along those lines of what Chuck Grassley tweeted, the Republican account, the GOP, at GOP, this is the main Republican Party Twitter account, tweeted this on October 22nd. Breaking! 192,000 illegal immigrants were apprehended at the southern border last month, the highest number of September apprehensions ever recorded by DHS. Thank you, Joe Biden.
So those people were kept out successfully then.
Yes. Oh, man. Republican Party whizzing on the electric fence, I think.
Don't whiz on the electric fence.
Yeah, that's going to become a staple on the show. Just get used to it. All right.
I can bite you.
Yeah. I mean, on the serious side of all of this, of course, this nonsense is inciting more and more red hats to commit violence at school board meetings and even against, in some cases, against children. I mean, I saw an analysis the other day just in general about social media and how, you know how being celebrities made Tom Cruise and Michael Jackson a little fucking nuts?
Right.
Well, now we're all Tom Cruise and Michael Jackson because we have our own little celebrity niches on social media and so on.
Right.
And that attention, I think, is making people go bananas. And some people worse than others. The people who already have firearms and want something to do with those firearms, they're going nuts too. So
a lot of talk about that. Violence against school officials has been threatened. You know, this is why, again, local elections are important, because a lot of people are being scared out of their jobs. That was certainly has certainly been true and continues to be true for local election officials, which is why we need strong people in those offices. Here's another headline from the Washington Post this week. Nearly 4 in 10 who say that the election was stolen from Trump say that violence might be needed to save America. I've read an article as well about the threat of violence over vaccine mandates, especially for children. But Biden's employee mandate hasn't gone into effect yet. Wait till it does. Now, it's interesting because although we heard 10,000 police and firefighters would resign in New York if they were forced to get vaccinated, in the end, only 36 did resign. And as we've discussed before, those are probably public safety officials that we can do without because they don't believe in public safety. You know, so but the violence that's threatened because of this against health officials.
Yeah.
The health officials who've been forced to resign over the past year and a half, 2 years over people being upset about restrictions because of the coronavirus. This violence, and we're hearing more, when do we bring the guns, somebody shouted recently at a political rally. When do we get out the guns? That's how close they are to committing violence. And I don't know, get a helmet and lay low. I don't know what advice to tell people, but I you know, this ignorance has grown into anger, which is about to turn into violence, and in some cases already has. Again, hard to be optimistic because of this massive, this epidemic of ignorance and the anger it has fueled.
Yeah, and what's happened is a considerable portion of the American population, certainly in terms of the political debate at the very least, and I know you can break down the percentages and say, well, it's not that much overall, but I mean, in terms of the people who are actually in the process of influencing politics and participating in politics, I think there are a lot of, especially Republicans, who have lost sight of what democracy is all about, forming arguments and creating a debate based on facts. Well, and whoever you know comes out on top in the debate gets to have their way for a while. And that's how it works. But what they're saying is, we don't have that motivation anymore. We don't want to debate anymore. We don't. We're frustrated with the whole thing because our leaders are telling us horseshit and it confuses us. And so now we just got to shoot things. That's the
because they don't understand, because we failed to educate them properly on how government does work and what their citizenship responsibilities are.
Well, and the part of the problem is that we're coming up on a big time midterm election season where you're going to see the ads. You're going to see the commercials in which Republican candidates and sitting members of legislatures, governor's mansions, Congress, and so on are going to be doing commercials in which they shoot or blow up things they don't like in the commercials. We've seen this time and time again. Oh, I don't like that tax code. Let's shoot it. Or I don't like Obamacare. Let's shoot it. I don't like this or that thing. And we're going to blow it up with explosives. That's how we solve problems here. And so vote for me. And so no wonder they're like, oh, okay, I guess candidate so-and-so is blowing shit up. So, yeah,
guns
must be
okay.
Answer. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then you have people like Lauren Boebert, who, along with Matt Gaetz this past weekend, threatened to blow up the Capitol building. I can't believe I've buried this lead, but this was an actual thing. Matt Gaetz at an event was joking about blowing up the metal detectors inside the Capitol building, and then Lauren Boebert quote tweeted that and said, I'll bring the Tannerite.
which is a fucking explosive, into the Capitol building to blow up either the entire building, however powerful the Tannerite might be, or just, you know, the metal detectors at the entrance to the Capitol building because of the insurrection.
Well, like so many of our listeners, I can't believe they're still walking free after making threats like that. What would happen if you or I made a threat like that?
Oh, I know.
I can only think and hope that prosecutions are being developed behind the scenes. If they're not, we're screwed.
Yeah.
There's got to be, she's got to be held to account. They all do. Yeah. Matt Gaetz, for crying out loud, shouldn't even be in a position to be tweeting at this point.
I know. And look, I recommended that everyone report that tweet. It's still up. Yes. So I guess Twitter has determined that Lauren Boebert was joking. Which, if that was a joke, let's blow up the Capitol building. Clearly, you know what happened is Lauren Boebert, you know, pissed on the electric fence.
Don't piss on the electric fence.
I can only hope she gets the commensurate electric shock that goes with that.
No. Oh, man. So there's our day. There's our show. Half silly, half really pissed off. That is kind of the... It's a half and half. Yeah,
I will try to be more optimistic next week, and I will be if Terry McAuliffe, in fact, wins Virginia.
That's right. Good luck, future people. I hope things turned out well in the election. We are from the past now, and so we're giving you a salute from the past, and, you know, good luck. Good luck. If things turned out badly, good luck.
It could be a while before we know.
Yeah, lots more to talk about coming up on the Shadow Docket portion of the show on our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. Let's see. What else?
Like what
else are we going to talk about? Let's see. a show note, something that I'm not doing that I guess I should be doing. I got a funny exit interview by someone who left our Patreon page.
Oh, yes.
Plus, oh my God, some interesting news out of the UK with regard to online trolls. We're going to talk about that. And more about Lauren Boebert, by the way. We'll see if there's more to talk about with Lauren Boebert. She had a funny, and by funny, I mean terrible. A terrible couple things to say about Pete Buttigieg and paternity leave, which is...
What do you expect from someone who gave birth to Louis Gohmert in the front seat of her pickup?
So gross. And fully formed, like Louis Gohmert, the way he looks
exactly
now.
Exactly as he looks today. That's right.
Yes. Covered in purple spooge, but still wearing the suit, bald, screaming about asparagus. You know, the usual shit.
Right.
So that's happening on our Patreon page. Again, bobseskashow.com. Thank you for subscribing at the $5 level. If you sign up, by the way, at the $10 level, you're not only going to get the Shadow Docket, you're also going to get the after party on Friday. And if you sign up at $15 a month, you're going to get all that stuff. Two Shadow Docket shows, the after party. Plus, we take out all the commercials from the free show for you. And we form what is called the ultimate edition of this podcast. It's the free show with no commercials, seamlessly bleeding right into, and I use the word bleeding, into the Shadow Docket portion of the show. It's all in one big hour and a half podcast. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Don't piss on the electric fence.